praise God for a very special friend here, which are many, but one I'm particularly thinking of from Grace. And God put it on my heart to give her some money because she needed some help. So I did, and she didn't want to take it. And I said, you know what? God says, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm going to give and get a blessing, and you're going to get one too. So it's okay. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. Well, then, soon later, she said to me, I want to take you guys out for dinner. And I wanted to say, no, you can't. And right away, she said, well, remember the blessing? And I'm like, doing, doing, doing. God has to remind me all the time because I'm telling other people that, but then I forget it and want to say no. Don't let somebody be afraid. Don't be afraid. Let somebody give to you. They get the blessing. It's more blessing to give. Jesus said that than to receive. So I let her get the blessing that day. That was the biggest blessing, and I got one too. So that was great. I'm so thankful for that. I taught that lesson to the Wana girls a few years ago. I told them, Don't you be afraid to let somebody give something to you. Don't say, no, I don't want that. Just let them give it to you, and they'll get the biggest blessing. You'll get one, too. And you can give it to somebody else if you don't want it. But you remember, we read the words in the Bible. God said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So let other people give to you, and you give to others. That's what I learned.
Good. Thank you, LaVon. Anybody else? Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I just want to thank you for your prayers for my dad. That was about 7 or 8 weeks ago when he had pneumonia and was having a pacemaker put in. He's doing amazingly well. I never thought he would recover this well. He's been in rehab, and he just got released from there Thursday. And is now at Pine Haven in assisted living. He's almost as strong as he was before he got sick. So thank you so much for your prayers. And I just want to praise the Lord for how he's guided Gary and I in this journey of my dad's declining health. The last 7 months have been really tough, but I see God's hand working from us preparing our house to have my dad move in. One of our sons helped us get a bathroom made. We got everything done in 7 weeks for my dad to move in. Right now that son is working 80 some hours a week. You know, so 7 months ago if he was working like this, he never would have been able to help us. My dad, in like the period of 5 months, has moved 5 times. Of his declining health. That's really tough on him and us and decisions, but I just have seen God's hand as he guides us and just leads us in what we should do. And I'm so thankful to still have my dad. When I thought, when he had pneumonia, I really thought we were going to lose him, but God's been very gracious to us. And a special thanks to many of you in the congregation who have been like little angels coming alongside of me, and you probably have no idea you did it, but you just, you know, said words of encouragement and just helped us in this walk. It's just amazing. And I just thank all of you for just being wonderful Christians and friends.
Good. Thanks, Vicki. Good. Somebody else? Al.
There's a fellow that's here today that doesn't always visit us. But several years ago, he visited us, and he gave a message. And he used a film. It was a film of a rope. It represented eternity, and at the end of the rope was about a foot section. Now, he's not the originator of this. Somebody else on YouTube did this. But he doesn't realize, the fellow that's here today, Brian, the seed that was planted in that film, I have used that illustration of the rope numerous times. Yesterday I had an opportunity, I gave the message at my sister's funeral, memorial service. And if there's one time when people are thinking about heaven and hell and dying and whatever, it's at a funeral. And when you're up there speaking and you look out at the people in the audience or in attendance there, you could have heard a pin drop when I started talking about that decision that had to be made in that period of time in a rope. This was a Lutheran church, and the pastor had just gotten done giving the message about because they were baptized here in heaven today. And I got up, followed that, and I said, now, this is Paul Harvey. And I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. But it was not offensive because I had that rope illustration. I publicly want to thank Brian because, you know, you don't know what you say and what you do as a Christian, how it's going to affect other people sitting there. But Brian, I want to thank you. It's been well received wherever I've used it. It's actually, thank you. Thank God.
It's ripples in the pond, isn't it? Yeah, good. Thanks, Al. We'll trust that it touched somebody's heart yesterday. You didn't shake your hand. Oh, well. God will reward you for your faithfulness. Patty.
I also would like to thank God for making my path for me, because I can't do it. I thank him so much for his strength, and I thank him for taking me to Novi, and I thank you for each one of your prayers. And I just thank you for you, and thank you for my family, for my church.
Thanks. We're going to have another time in just a few minutes for our testimonies, and then we're going to hear from Lori and from Brian. And so let's sing again, and you can be thinking of something that maybe you'd like to share.
Our God is greater. Let's sing it.
Our God.
We're going to pray, and then we'll have our men come forward for our offering. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the encouragement that it is more blessed to give than receive, and that you appreciate and love cheerful givers. We pray that we would do that this morning. We thank you for the things that you've blessed us with materially, and we pray that we'd be good stewards of it by giving to you what is rightfully yours. Help us to manage our funds and wealth wisely, and our time and resources, and that we would honor you with them in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, maybe you have some testimonies, again, of praise and thanksgiving that you'd like to share. Yes, Russ?
I don't think I
stop.
Yes, you do.
I would just like to share a concern that I have, and yet a praise and thanksgiving for her. A young couple in our family. I've known for a few years, since before they had been married, now 2 or 3 years, and she is a teacher who is transferring from her music teaching job up near Green Bay to where her husband has just become a youth pastor. Way west in northern Wisconsin, farther. I know that he wanted to do that for years, and he finally made that choice, and Lindsay now has to find a new teaching job. She's a very gifted young lady, both musically on instrument and directing and so on, so I don't think that'll be a problem. But I want to thank the Lord for knowing that couple. They both know you as personal Lord and Savior. I've known that. that for years. So I want to thank and praise the Lord for that. And I wish you would pray for them as they make a transition in their life to a different part of our state, and that Lindsay would continue to find a new job that she can do well at, again, like she did in her first 2 years of teaching. I have 4 children of my own, and Maxine has some. And being an educator for 42 plus years, I never had one in my family get to be a teacher. And yet, now Lindsay is fulfilling that need. I'm so thankful for her. She's a great young lady, and I know she will continue to have success in her career. She's just become a mother for the first time, so in the last day of 2017. So that's a new challenge for them. I pray for her husband as he adapts to this new job. He'll be a great youth pastor.
Good.
I just wanted to share that and thank the Lord for what he's doing in their life and in those members of our family. Mm-hmm.
Good. Thanks, Russ. Somebody else? Dennis. Yep.
All right, this morning I'd like to encourage the men that have children, especially young kids at home, I think of the Smeeses, for instance, that they're molding and shaping their kids every day. Sometimes it gets to be hard to do and you think the time is slow, but when I reflect on my life, how important it is to have a godly father in the home, especially, and a godly mother. When I was born, there were 6 of us in our family, but my dad committed suicide when I was a year old, and I found out years later he did shoot himself, and in the hospital he died 3 days later, but he did trust the Lord in that time. But he had no influence in my life, okay? So then years later, my mom married another man, and he was an alcoholic. So she got to be an alcoholic at the same time, so there was no family life there either. I was like, 6, 7 years old. So then eventually my mom lost custody of us 3 kids who were still living at home, and I lived in a children's home in Milwaukee for 3 years in an orphanage, and there's no family life there. You know, it's an orphanage. You do everything together, you brush your teeth together, you do school together, activities, whatever it is. So then when I was going into 5th grade, we went into a foster home in Muskego for 1 year, and that's when I first started to get some inkling that there was a God and the Bible and, you know, spiritual truth and that type of thing. I didn't latch on to it, but I started to get exposed to it. And then in 1960, Russell's parents brought us out on the farm here in Batavia, and they raised Bruce and I from 1960 on, and that's when we really started to feel, you know, family love and acceptance, and they took us to church and learned spiritual things. I didn't trust the Lord at that point, but again, a lot of exposure to it. But I'd just like to encourage men that have children at home. Each day might seem long and tedious, but you are a real blessing to your kids, and I'd like you to keep it up. And kids, too, appreciate when you have a mom and dad together in the home. It's so important to mold and shape you to what God wants you to be.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Dennis. Good. Karen.
About a year ago in May, we asked for prayer for a great-grandson that had several heart problems, and I just want to praise the Lord. He's doing well.
Good.
And he still will have operations in the future. And then our family's growing. We also have had 2 granddaughters that were expecting, one the end of May, one the middle of May. Well, they both decided this week was the week they both had their children, and so now we have 2 more, or 2 great-grandsons added this week, and I just want to praise the Lord because there were difficulties for each of them. There were expected complications, but the Lord is faithful and good, and we just give him all the praise and glory and thanks.
Good. Thanks, Karen. I'd like to introduce Lori Morley to you today. I met Lori and her family many years ago. They were part of Grace Bible Church in Oconomowoc, where Marsh and I were first pastoring there. And I'll let Lori tell the rest of the story. She doesn't know anything about me, though, so. Welcome, Lori. Let's see. Yes, there you go.
I guess I have to have one. Well, thank you so much for letting me share a little bit of my story with you. And my history in missions began when I was quite young. My parents entered the missionary training for New Tribes Mission when I was about 8 years old. And when I was 13, we went over to Papua New Guinea. And my parents were missionaries over there. And my brother and I, we lived in a dorm and went to school there. And then we were able to go and be with our parents on school breaks. And so that was a good experience for me. It just, you know, really opened my eyes to people of other cultures and what God is doing around the world. And when it came time for me to graduate and we were going to be returning home to the States, and, you know, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. I thought maybe I would be a nurse or a teacher. I wanted to do something that would like, you know, a service job or, you know, that would serve humanity. And my dad said, well, Lori, why don't you go to Bible school? Because that would be a good basis for making your life decisions. And I thought that sounded good because I knew that my relationship with God was shallow and I really wanted something deeper, but I didn't know how to get it. When we returned to the States, I went to the New Tribes Bible Institute in Waukesha, Wisconsin, and and it was there that just through studying the Word and especially through going through it in a chronological way, I began to see, instead of just a bunch of disjointed stories, I began to see how God's Word was one story of God's redemption for mankind. And I just really fell in love with God then. And that was really when my parents' faith became my own faith. And I was like, this is the greatest message. You know, yes, I want to be a part of bringing God's Word to the rest of the world. So at that time, I said yes to God, to investing my life in God's kingdom. And the way that looked for me at that time was I followed in my parents' footsteps. And I went through the New Tribes missionary training. And I went back to Papua New Guinea. And I worked in a remote tribal location. Just the only access was by airplane. There was just a grass airstrip. And the people lived in huts. And I studied their culture. And I learned their language. And my primary role on the team was to teach adult literacy so that the people could learn to read in their own language. And I also was involved in the Bible Translation Project, so I assisted with that. I did that. I was in that location for 16 years. I was in New Guinea for 20 years. And in 2013, I came home on what I thought would be just a regular home assignment. But I wasn't fully aware of it at that time, but I was really in an emotional crisis. So I had lived for 16 years in an isolated location. Basically, all of my relationships were long-distance relationships, including relationships with my own family. And after 16 years, you know, there'd just been so much giving and so much draining out of me and not enough life coming back into me. And at that time, I came home in 2013, and I made a move over to Michigan from Wisconsin. So my sending church was in Neenah, Wisconsin, but I didn't have any family there anymore, and I was desperate for connection. So I decided to move to be near my brother and his family over in Michigan. And I got to know the church there and some of the people who were on the missions committee. And so I had a meeting with them one day, and I thought that I was raising more financial support. And I showed them my ministry DVD and the exciting work that I was involved in. And after I was done showing my video, I sat down, and the director of the missions committee, he said to me, "Well, Lori," he said, "how do you feel that you've been taken care of?" And I was like, "What?" And it seemed so random. I was like, "What about this great ministry that I just showed you? You know, what about that?" And he was like, and I honestly didn't even know what he meant. I can't remember anybody ever asking me that question before. And so I said, "What do you mean?" And he said, "Well, how do you feel that your organization has cared for you?" And I said, "Well, not very well." And I, with some tears and everything, I shared some of the struggles that I'd been through, and you know, feeling alone, feeling like I was doing this ministry alone. And he said, "Well, Lori, what we're going to do is we're going to send you to a pastoral retreat." And they sent me to a location there in Michigan for 3 weeks. And in my 20 years of ministry, I'd never really taken a retreat like that for myself. And so during the retreat, they had classes in the morning, and I had my own session with a counselor in the afternoon. And it began to become clear that it was time for me to make a transition. And I wasn't thriving spiritually or emotionally anymore. And, you know, I needed to relocate, and I really needed to become connected again to the body of Christ. And so I made the very difficult decision to return home from Papua New Guinea. I went back in 2015 to pack up and say goodbye, and it was really difficult, but at the same time, I felt an underlying peace that this was just the next step in my journey. So I came home and took a couple of years to have some healing and restoration and get reconnected, but I really believed that God wasn't done with me yet. And that my experiences on the field and everything had a purpose, and that God, you know, he's been preparing works for me ahead of time, and for me to just come along behind and do these things that would invest in his kingdom. So I thought, well, what would that look like now? I knew firsthand that there was a need for missionaries to receive more care and encouragement. You know, it's like a soldier going out, like sending Josiah out. When you send out a soldier, you don't just hand him a gun and a couple bullets and say, "All right, go fight. You're on your own. Just, you know, go out and do what needs to be done." You know, his family and his friends at home are supporting him, are praying for him, there's parts of themselves that are invested in him. And not only that, but the military is training him and equipping him and providing the resources that he needs to get his mission accomplished. And in that same way, you know, missionaries need to have care and encouragement from a lot of different sources. They need it from their home churches. They need it from their families, from their organization. And so I was aware of that need, and I started exploring the area of missionary care. What would that look like for me? And I was attending some missionary care conferences, and about a year and a half ago, I heard someone speak, and he said, you know, in order to become the most effective that you can be in your ministry, you should really narrow your focus and become an expert in one or two areas, because there's so many things that you could do, but become an expert in one or two areas, and you'll become more effective. And so I thought, let's see, if I were to become an expert in one thing, what would that be? And so right away I thought of single women. And I knew that, that you know, there's a lot of single women out there. Did you know that one-third of the missionary demographic are singles, and 80% of those singles are women? And so I knew there's a lot of them out there, but very few people really... you know, have walked in their shoes and understand the challenges that they face. And so I decided I was going to focus my ministry on single women. And, you know, one way I want to do that is by equipping them before they go. I mean, there's so many things that I wish that someone would have told me. And, you know, now's my opportunity to use my life experience to be able to say, you know, these are the kind of challenges that you're going to face. Let's prepare for them before you go. And also just encouragement while they're there on the field. You know, just through hopefully field visits. How I would have loved to just have someone visit me just for the purpose, not for the purpose of any accomplishing any project or whatever, but just to encourage me, to encourage my heart, and really to keep me full of hope and motivated to keep going. And also, you know, helping them through rough transitions when they come home. You know, many missionaries feel like the transition back home from the field is one of the most difficult challenges that they face in their ministry. So those are some of the things that I'm doing for single women, and I'd like to do more of. And so the reason that I do what I do is because, you know, I feel like God has equipped me specifically to be able to invest in his kingdom in this particular way. So I would really appreciate your prayers as I'm continuing to build this new ministry. I'm soon going to be starting a website, and it will be a way for me to be able to encourage single women through articles, and also for them to find me and connect with me online. I have some materials on the table and back, and you know, one of them is a document that I've compiled, the top emotional needs of single women in global ministry. And there's some other brochures there that might give you ideas, more ideas about how you can support your missionaries, how you can really encourage them while they're out there doing what they do, and how you can pray for them. So I'll be around, and I would love to talk to, you know, any one of you, let you know more what I'm doing, and really to get you engaged with what I'm doing, and praying for the Ministry of Missionary Care to Single Women. Thank you.
Great. Thanks, Lori. If you don't take care of the missionaries, they don't live to fight another day, and that's an important ministry. Some of you are closer to that than others, but appreciate your sharing that. And pick up that stuff on the back table there. I took a glance at the 10 emotional needs, and it just blew me away. Oh, boy. There's a lot to this. And so, Brian, come and share a little bit, whatever you'd like to update. Did you have Lori in class when you were teaching interface?
His mother.
Yeah.
That's my aunt. She's a wonderful lady.
She'd never forget you.
No.
That's true. I should have. Yeah. I should have known that.
Just leave that alone, okay? As I was thinking about giving you an update in the context of this praise service, my mind ran to a couple passages of scripture. One is in Ephesians, and it reads this way: "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Philippians has a similar encouragement to us. When Paul tells us to, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Those two came to my mind because I want to try to accomplish that this morning. It's hard sometimes to do the thanksgiving part. Especially if you noticed in your bulletins this morning when it comes to what's going on in Ghana right now with little Michael. Just got a phone call, in fact, on the way up here from Debbie was talking to William on the phone. I was not talking and driving, okay? That was my wife was talking. And little Michael is, the most recent pictures we've not even posted or shared because they're just not good. And so I covet your prayers, but I was asking the Lord, how do I pray thankfully as little Michael is struggling and suffering, and much of the suffering that he is going through was unnecessary from a human standpoint, because if he would have had his surgery back in December when it was originally scheduled, or in January when they delayed it a month, or in February when they delayed it a month, we wouldn't be here. But they just didn't. We don't know why. But they just chose not to. And now he's developed fevers and infections. And I talked with William yesterday, and he said the one doctor was dismissing him and allowing us to bring him back home so we could operate as the hospice that we are designed to be. Now this morning, we find out that might not happen quite yet. One of the other doctors said, we can't release a sick child. So William and the social worker have to go and talk with them tomorrow. But I covet your prayers. The Thanksgiving part, though, is this. In Psalm 116, we read, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. God loves it when his saints die. That's an awesome, awesome thought. God loves it when Christians die because they're coming home. It's not a bad thing. Debbie and I, quite honestly, have changed our prayers for Michael over the last couple weeks to just that. Lord, take him home. Bring him home. It's good to know a God who, I can't explain all of it. I can't explain how he accomplishes what he does. But I am confident that our God takes little ones home. He takes them to heaven. And it may be that what we've seen in little Michael's life is just exactly what God knew had to happen to ensure that little Michael was going to end up in heaven. Who knows what would have happened if his life would have been prolonged? And we just don't know. But we know this. Like David, we're going to see him again. And so it's a precious thing. And so I do thank the Lord for little Michael and what he's allowed us to go through. It's also brought us to a point as a ministry, his particular situation where we know that there are some things that we have to retool and we have to restructure. Well, one of those is for William and Priscilla. Since 2010, when they joined us, they have not had a vacation. They have not had a break. And every time we talk to them about it, oh, don't worry, this is just part of the work God has called us to do. But it's wearing on them. And so we covet your prayers to that end. We want to allow what God is using Michael to accomplish in our ministry to really help us to become better. And one of the ways is we're just praying that God will bring us another couple to work alongside William and Priscilla so that they can have a break every now and again. The other thing, we just had, if you remember, a little one die. Not how long ago was it? About a year ago. And it was very, very difficult on the children, the other children in the children's home, especially the older ones, which would be William and Priscilla's two that they've adopted. They're just too young to understand all of that, what's happening. And so it's just showing us that we need to find a way to, when we know that a child is nearing the end, that we can find a separate facility somehow, or at least a separate home within our compound where the other children can be sheltered a little bit from things that they're just not able to understand at their age. So there's some things, good things ultimately that will come out of this. The best thing, of course, is William and is for little Michael, that he's going to be with Jesus. We covet your prayers. We are trying to figure out what we do. Does Debbie or do I go over to Ghana and take the child into a separate facility and just take care of it? We just don't know what to do right now. So be in prayer for us as we try to make that decision. This whole concept of giving thanks in all of your circumstances is a huge thing. We drove in this morning, and I was going to tell you about just a wonderful gift that the Lord gave us. I'm not going to tell you that it's a wonderful gift anymore because it's not running right now for whatever reason. I pulled in, and I turned the car off, and then I was going to straighten out a little bit because I kind of parked like a drunken sailor. And so when I did that, the car wouldn't start. And somehow, I'm supposed to give thanks for that. So I'm here to say, thank you, Lord, for allowing that to happen. I don't know what good you're going to produce out of this, but good will come. He promises that as well. So just, you know, be in prayer with us about Michael, about our car. And one real good praise I can give you, just an update on our family. I'm going to be a grandpa again in the fall. Tommy and Megan, they just got married last August, and so that'll be grandchild number 5. I know, Paul, it's just a good start. But, you got 10 years on me, man. Let me catch up. So anyway, thank you. Thank you again for all your prayer support. You are a praying church. You are a very supportive church in all kinds of ways, and we can't thank the Lord enough for you and thank you enough either. But we thank the Lord for you because you are a great encouragement to us. Keep praying for Pastor William and Priscilla. I know that you support them as well. They really appreciate it. And help us to pray up this answer to what we need to be doing for them, to keep them encouraged, to keep their health up, not to let them get worn out. They are a tremendous gift from the Lord. Wonderful, wonderful people. We were talking on the way up about William, and he is. He's just a gift from God. Now, there are some gifts he doesn't have that I wish he did, but that's just because those gifts would be more convenient for me. But the ones he has, I'm telling you, there's no one better that I've ever met at doing what he's doing, and we just praise the Lord for him. Thank you. Thanks, Brian.
We're going to stand and sing our closing song, and that will be our benediction, and we will say amen after that.
Isn't it wonderful that we have a great God who is so much greater than us and knows all the answers, and we don't have to worry? Let's sing "How Great Is Our God."
Said. Amen. Just a quick reminder that for Sunday school, guys are meeting here in the gym, and ladies are meeting up in the fellowship room. So at about quarter till, or right in that range, that's when we'll start those that hour. Okay? All right. Thank you.